He'll be a blessing to you here in a minute, him and that group he's got. So looking forward to that. And God's sure been good to us to let us have them around. Amen. And the only bad thing, the downside, he's gone all the time. Amen. Preaching, singing or something, doing something somewhere. And that's good. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me. I have a new outline for you today. They're here on the front pew. If I can get a little help there on that. We'll talk about leadership in a church, or godly leadership, but would be the correct title, godly leadership, and follow along the lines of the biblical teachings of godly leadership and how that godly leaders are different simply by design. I'm sorry. Hello. Guy King calling Penny. What is I? He knows all that Superman stuff. Okay, what are we doing? Kids, I'm sorry. Take off. I'm forgetful. Getting old. Brother Mike, it ain't only Fat Mike and Fat Phil. It's Forgetful Phil. Sorry, young folks. Look at that. There goes everybody. What's that about? That's good, though, isn't it? All them smiling faces going out of here. Good, good. And good teachers and good folks following up. And I hear they had a hoot over there that Friday night, bonfire, wood supplied by Brother Bruns, and they was trying to burn it all up. They said, that stuff burnt like coal. They said, it burnt, man. That's seasoned firewood. They had a big time. I'm going to be in Isaiah for a platform verse, Isaiah 48 for a moment. We'll talk about leadership and how that godly leadership's a little different than worldly leadership. You have different kinds of leadership in the world today. There's democratic leadership. There's, I had a list of them at one time. I can't rattle that list off readily. There's obviously a dictatorial leadership. There's a communistic type leadership. There's all kinds of different kinds of leading. And there's a military-type leadership. But we want to talk about godly leadership, what the Bible says about godly leadership for godly people, and how God structures that in the Scriptures, and how important it is for our leaders in our churches to understand this. A lot of folks need to be trained how to be a good leader. And if you're saying, well, I don't have any interest in being a leader, I don't have any interest in being influential, but little do you know, everybody influences somebody along the line. And as we begin to develop our thought, our thinking for this, read that verse, if you're in your Bible, Isaiah chapter 48, and I did put it on the syllabus, the handout. But I didn't write any of the verses out. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17, I'll give you two thoughts here as we start. 48:17 says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. So we're going to find something out about how God leads. And if we can find something out about how God leads and transpose that into how we should be leaders, then we'll learn from the Word of God. Now, I know people, Brother Phil, I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to tell anybody what to do. I don't want to have any influence over anybody else. I just take a passive type approach to everything. Yeah, passive aggressive probably. Just let somebody cross your wires and you'll stand right up for what you want. Amen. I know. So stay with me a little bit here. Then that other verse I wanted you to see is in Corinthians in the New Testament. And it's over there in 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. And look what Paul says along these thoughts as we try to develop these thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, all about verse 1. let a man so account of us. So there's accountability, and he was a leader. Watch, account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He knew something, and he didn't mind being accountable for how he was leading those that followed him. Moreover, it is required in stewards, anybody that's over anything, that a man be found faithful. And obviously the word steward is connected with finances, but also husbandry or households or governments or any kind of teaching, any kind of leadership role. He says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Now in that he said, I don't mind to be accountable. I'll give account. But now he's simply saying that I should be judged of you or any man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. So he's simply saying there, he's a man of authority. There will be men of authority, women of authority, people with influence. But if they're of God and God's leaders, they'll do it God's ways and know of the mysteries of God. That's what he says. And then God will ultimately judge that, if you please, performance or that ministry that he has. So we're going to learn how to be godly leaders. Now, a lot of folks are leaders naturally. Let me give you an example. Can anybody here remember when you were in the third grade? Can you? Yeah, okay. Man, look at this spaghetti up here. Look at this. Watch my step. I'll be tripping on this stuff. When you were in the third grade, if you were in a public situation, there was probably a bully in your class. And your mind is probably racing back to that incident when that bully stood out. It could be a girl or a boy. Well, that bully is a picture of somebody having influence over somebody else. Not necessarily godly influence. But you understand where I'm coming from. Everybody has influence on somebody somehow. And you go back to the third grade, you remember that bully. You go, oh, I'm gonna stay away from him. I'll get my eyes punched in. I got my first pair of glasses when I was in the fourth grade. They finally figured out why I wasn't any good at math. I wasn't any good at English. I sat in the back of the class because that's the chair they assigned you to. That back then they assigned us seats. And the blackboard was wore out because it was built in about 1920. And when you wrote on it, you couldn't see it anyway. And it just like looked dust to me looking up there. So they finally figured out I was blind. And I got my first pair of glasses. Now I thought, man, I can see everything. I'm going to make straight A's. Well, somebody called me Four Eyes, the bully in the class. The girls told me I was ugly. And I'm thinking, they're having influence. I didn't think that then. I think back on that now. And they might materialize into born leaders. So, you know, in the sixth grade, there were still those kind of people around. In the seventh grade, there were still those kind of people around. And when you remember when you were a freshman in high school, you thought, if you went to a public school, you thought, man, I sure would like to be a senior. But the seniors always put it on the freshmen and made them feel bad, like underclassmen and all that kind of stuff. That was them having influence because they'd been someplace you hadn't been. They were seniors. And then when they got to be seniors, they looked up at the college guys and said, man, I sure want to go to college so I could be like them, have a little influence over somebody. And that's just a normal way how life goes. Everybody has some kind of influence over somebody. You say, well, Brother Phil, you don't know. I don't have any influence over anybody. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. You may have a pet, a dog, or a cat, and I bet you got influence over it. Yeah. Don't you do that again, you know. Everybody has influence over somebody somewhere along the line. So we want to learn how to have godly influences and learn how to see what the Bible has to say to help us, because we need teachers, we need deacons, we need leaders in the church always, and we need parents and Christian workers to know how to be good godly leaders from the perspective of the Word of God, so that we can develop those that we have influence over in the right things. So that's the nature, and I've put in here, to establish a desire in the heart of each Christian to grow in servant heart leadership. So true Christian leadership is from a servant's heart. It's not a dictatorial thing. It's not a worldly thing. Hence, quite the contrary, it's a godly thing. Learning to rightly influence others. Say, what are these classes about? When the kids go out of here and march out of there, what are they doing over there? They're trying to teach biblical principles, our leaders. That's why we're careful about who does what and how they do it, because they're going to have an influence over someone else. Now, if they bring their worldly influence powers into the church, it's not going to fit well. If they bring a cultural influence into the church because it's what they like, it's not going to fit well. You say, why? Because it's going to influence the church kids how to be that way and not godly. That's why we have to have teachers' meetings, that to make sure everybody's on the same page. That's why you want to have deacons' meetings. You say, why? Make sure everybody's on the same page. That's why we have preacher meetings, and pastor will call us and tell us, look, do this, don't do that, do this, and don't teach on that, preach on this. And, you know, I need leadership. If I don't get some leadership, somebody will be doing damage control. You follow what I'm saying? So we want good biblical leadership from the Word of God. We don't want this group over here teaching something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, because that's just how they feel, and that's their culture, and that's what society has taught them. So they're going to try to have that influence on them. You know, they might be teaching something strange like, hey, I let my hair grow, let your hair grow, when the Bible's clearly says it's for a shame for a man to have long hair. You see what I'm saying? But because he's cool or she's cool, I was talking about a man situation. Ladies can let their hair grow, amen. But you see what I'm saying? So do you think that a public school teacher can get in and teach anything they want to teach? I'll guarantee that they can't teach on creation. Huh? That's because they got rules. You say, well, it would be right for them to teach on. Yeah, it would be, but not anymore, you see. So same in a church. You can't come in here and teach communism in the back class. You can't come in here and teach Pentecostalism in the back chat. Say, why? Because it's a Baptist church. We don't adhere to those doctrines. That's why. You say, well, you should never say anything about anybody's religion. No, well, I disagree. I adamantly disagree. You say, why? Because that's how you get all this mixed up doctrine in a church. Then when you have a little problem, that sect goes that way, that sect goes that way, that sect goes that way, and the devil has divided and split the church. Amen, Brother Phil. That's good preaching this morning. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about godly leadership. Leadership has to be put in place so that everything follows an order. When you get somebody out of order in a class someplace, or teaching over here, or doing something over here, you're going to have chaos on your hands. Because the public school that has somebody teaching on creation, it isn't long till they get a pink slip and they're shown the door. You say, why? They're not following the rules. It's going to be the same in any good, well-run, orchestrated, administrated church. You're going to have a hierarchy. You're going to have pastoral leadership. You're going to have teacher leadership, deacon leadership, music leadership, right down the line. I've seen something down there. I believe it's somebody's dirty underwear. Let me see what that is. Hang on. Break time. Time out. Oh, shucks. It's just a handkerchief. I thought it was going to get real exciting there for a minute, but it's, you never know, you know. What? Looking down there, somebody's socks or something. I don't know. But hey, leadership is so important, because you say, why? Because the better leadership you have along the things of God, the more you can get done for God, and everything isn't helter-skelter running everywhere. So quite a few thoughts here on godly leadership and things that people lose track of. So many Christians miss the point. I want to say that this morning. I got a phone in my back pocket. My nose is running. I didn't want to use that handkerchief. I have my own. Christians miss the point. We become addicted to whatever we see on TV. However we were trained, well, that's how my daddy taught me, that's how I teach. Well, wait a minute, it better line up with the Word of God or we're going to be in trouble. So let's look at a few of these as we go through. A godly leader loves and serves Jesus, watch this, and others as a life commitment. I believe teaching is a call. Ephesians chapter 4, pastors, teachers, evangelists. So today, when we think about that, everybody has an influence. God knows that you have an influence on somebody, but it ought to be a godly influence. You're a leader somewhere. Matthew 20, 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, isn't that what it's about? Who can be boss? Who can be the bully? Well, in the world sense it is. Let him be your servant. Now, how backwards is that to how the world thinks? I'm your boss. If you don't believe it, try me. How about this? I'm your boss. Could I shine your shoes and, you know, iron your shirts? That don't even sound. No, that's not how the world looks at it. But that's how God looks at it. Let's read that verse again. It's in Matthew 20, 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Did you know that your pastor is the chief among us because God said him so? But he's also your servant? Do you know you can call him at any hour of the day and his answer machine will always be... Sometimes it says, this answer machine is so full it cannot accept another message, but click. You say, why? That's because he's busy serving. And he probably hadn't had time to erase it. You say, why? A pastor's job, a preacher's job, a teacher's job, a deacon's job is to serve. That's godly leadership. It's called servant leadership. And it's not a pedestal to climb up on. It's not a podium to ride on, to be dictatorial or any of that, or to be a position or to be somebody. And so when we read those verses as Christ, Matthew 23, 11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. So if you teach a class today, if you're a deacon, if you're a preacher, if you're an evangelist, are you a servant? Or is that position gone to your head and you're just a figure? Not good. There's a lot of pastors that are untouchable. We don't have one of those. And I wouldn't give you a nickel for them. Their phone number needs to be in the phone book. Or it needs to be on the bulletin. I get calls all the time. I'm glad to get them. I'm glad that they thought enough of me to let me try to help. I might not can run over there right away, but I'll get something done. We'll call somebody. We'll do something. I think Diane Call called me one time. Brother Phil, I can't get a hold of anybody. Brother Tom won't pick up his phone. I said, well, the message's probably full. He's probably busy putting out a couple fires someplace else. You know, I'll go to bat for him a little bit. He's probably fishing, but it's okay. And she said, well, this van, the brakes is broken. I said, listen, child. I said, carry it right up to the first place wherever you want and get it fixed. We'll pay for it. Really? I said, really? You can't drive a van with no brakes on it. You say, how'd you know to say that? That's what pastor would have said. Get it fixed. We don't care. You're a servant. You're there to help out, to pick it up and help them on their way. So Matthew 9, if you look at those two or three verses, 33 through 35, and he came to Capernaum. This is Christ. He's our great exemplar. And being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? Now, well, I want you to really watch this. But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, If any man desire to be first, or the leader, or the best, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Well, I'm going to be king of the mountain around here. They're going to know when I walk in the room. Well, that's the world's mentality. That's not God's mentality. And so we don't need leaders that think, well, I'm in charge now. I'll run it the way I want to run it. No, you're going to do it the way the Bible says to do it. And that's why God sets a chain of command up and order up in the Word of God. And so when you choose teachers, deacons, pastors, if that comes up, you want godly people that understand godly leadership. In that little place where I just read Mark 9:33-35, Paul echoes these words in 2 Corinthians 4:5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now be careful when somebody gets up to preach. Now I'm going to preach on preachers here a minute, teach on preachers. And all they can say is, well, I did this, and I done this, and I'm headed over here, and I flew to Japan yesterday, and I did it. Write down all the personal pronouns they use, and then compare it to the list of how many times they bragged on Jesus. And you might psychologically find a problem with that guy's ego. Now, he says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. I've gone to these preachers' fellowships, and I've gone to these campaigns. We've all been. And you don't have to sit there too long and listen to them bloviate till you know it's all about them and how great a leader they are. And you need to subscribe to what we're doing. And if you want us for your friend, you need to write us a check for $1,000 and we'll be your friend. Give me a break. You need to get out of that place before you get shanghaied. And if you go to buying into it and believing it, write me a check for $1,000. No, just somebody said there's a sucker born every minute. I don't know, brother. I don't know. We're servants. We shouldn't be asking or putting ourselves on some kind of a... But man, I'm a servant. I know I'll have to clean the commodes after a while. Brother Tom, when I first come on board here, the first thing he said to me, it humbled me. Now, Brother Phil, there's a Johnny Brush back there. I want you, the first thing that you need to do is you come on board, go back there and clean them bathrooms. I thought he was serious. Till somebody stopped me on the way back. No, they've been cleaned. You're good. I said, okay, thank you. But in Philippians, Paul echoes these words in Philippians 2:7, but made himself of no reputation. Why does everybody want a reputation? Why does every preacher you run across want a reputation? There's a problem with that. He says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And Christ is our leader and our Savior. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:19, for though I be free from all men, and he was, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. He was concerned for serving God, lifting up Christ, and helping others. Does that go along with our decree to establish a desire in the heart of each Christian to grow in the servant-hearted leadership, learning to rightly influence others? Right, right. That'll work. So in both Paul's words and his life, and the Lord's life and the Lord's words, Jesus modeled a kind of leadership that loves other people and serves them. Now, if we got teachers that don't believe that, deacons that don't believe that, you can be thankful you're in a place they do believe that. But if you get into church where they don't believe that, they've got problems. You will have problems. And thank God we don't. And if we do, it's pretty well hid. And that's good till God takes care of it. But I'm saying for the most part, we got a pretty tight ship. I like that. Spiritual leadership begins with deciding to love and serve others. You know why we have, and I know I shouldn't keep saying it, but he's sitting back there looking at me and he gave me $10. Because he loves everybody. He loves everybody. I'm never mad at anybody. And do you need anything? I think he asked me yesterday, you need anything? Is there anything you want? No. I felt sorry for him. He's out sowing grass down here someplace. Sowing grass. I said, you need to delegate that. Call somebody and let them sow that grass for you. No, I know how to do it. He said, I'll get up on my mule and I'll run that sprout. Get on a mule. Don't get on no mule. Well, we did talk about a mule, maybe not in that context. And sprinkle that grass. He said, I know how to do it. My daddy dug ponds. His daddy dug our pond when we were kids. And he said, did you get that grass sowed, Pastor?
Oh, yeah.
He did. See? See, he loves people. He cares for others. You didn't think he knew how to do anything, did you? He can sow grass, I'll tell you that, and break open straw. You're in trouble now, preacher. Okay. He'd be working you like a rented mule. But he chose to do that. And what I'm saying here, you got to decide in your life that you're going to love and serve others. A spiritual leader takes on a life commitment, a life, if you please, paradigm of loving and serving people. Why do you think a nurse becomes a nurse? Because I know you thought it was all about the money. They don't make that much money, do they? No, they're there because they care about people. There are some nurses that like the paperwork in it. There's some nurses that like the leadership part of it, and they're good at it. There's some nurses that like geriatrics. Thank God for all those. The older I get, amen. But they're in it because they love people and they serve others. The Epicurean, well, that's probably wrong, but the oath the doctors take, they're going to help other people. And they're in it because it's like they care about people. That's why pastors ought to pastor and teachers ought to teach and deacons ought to deke for those reasons. Or any type of leadership. And if you desire to lead others in the right direction and have a godly influence on them, don't get tired of trying to lead. People say, oh, I'm just burn out. I'm done. I can't do it anymore. Well, is it for you? Is that why you're burning out, or is it for God? Is it for you that you can't take it another mile, or is it for the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it for others? Nehemiah chapter 1 looked out there and he knew there was a problem over in Jerusalem, and he come before the king in a sad countenance. And when you read that context, the word others stands out because he cared about others. He didn't care about himself. He cared about others. That's good leadership. Good leadership. That verse I was thinking of is Romans 12:10. I think I even jotted it down so you'd have it. Under point number one, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Always count others better than thyself. Well, I'm better than they are. You may be, but just condescend. Just condescend a little. And be kindly affectionate one to another. Say why? Well, if you're going to help anybody, and that's what it's about, you might have to get down off that high horse. I'm not on no high horse. Well, if you feel like you're a little better, or you're goody two shoes, or you'd have never done it that way, or that, come on down off that thing just a minute.
Yeah.
And get down down in the trenches, where the love is needed, and where the serving is needed. Amen. Yeah. I got a lot more to say about preachers and preachers' fellowships and all this stuff, but I'm going to save that because I'm teaching to the church here today. I got to watch my time. There are many coming in now. I see them trying to park cars, people in the vestibule. We got about 5 minutes. Number two, a godly leader will focus on being a friend. I like this point. And I want to finish the thought. A godly leader will focus on being a friend, not on having friends. Now, the bully in school wanted friends by intimidation. Everybody's his friend because they don't get beat up. That's friends for the wrong reason. Now, if you want friends, you got to be a friend. And nobody's too good, too high, too mighty, too smart to be a friend to somebody else. Could I put in there too busy? So a good leader, you got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And brother, that friend is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's your Savior. So what I'm saying is there's continuity, because the book of Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If he is our friend, should not we be a friend to others?
I don't have time for them. No, you know, just a frequent flyer. They always want something.
Well, maybe you should be a friend to them anyway.
Well, I don't want anybody else seeing me helping them out.
What? We can't be like that as good leaders. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. Aren't you glad that good friends still love you when things go bad in your life? I mean, good friends still love you and want to help you, even if things are going great in your life. There's no resentment, no envy. No malice. You follow what I'm saying? I'm talking about godly leaders focusing on being a friend. If you're a leader, you ought to be a friend to anybody that's around you. Amen. And so often that's not the case. They become elitist. You can't talk to them. Don't ask them a question. Don't bother them. They're way too busy for you. I don't see that at all in the Word of God. You might find that in the higher schools of education. You might find that in government institutions where you just they're not going to give you the time of day. But that's not godly leadership. That's carnal leadership. Godly leader will focus on being a friend. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You say, well, I got people that's friends to me. They're better friends to me than my family. So do I. So do I. Say, what is that? Well, that's a family hang up someplace, a relationship gone bad. Amen. Where a Christian, you know what? I can come to church and have a sweeter fellowship among the brothers and sisters of this church than I can when the Gabbert clan gets together. Dude, they're jacking shells in the chamber and sticking guns in their belt and covering them up, just daring you to say something. Don't you take that turkey leg. He didn't get me nothing for Christmas. And by the way, let me take a minute to thank everybody for all the cards. Pastor Appreciation Day, and I'm not even the pastor. I'm just a helper. Thank you for that. Some people stuck money in them. Thank you for that. That meant a lot. Some people sent me pickled beets and hot peppers. They are stored away in the safe hold of my RV. And I eat them out of the jar because nobody else is there but Jeremiah, and I dare him to touch them. I eat them with a fork. They're mine. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for all that. So people are friends to us. Amen. Ointment and perfume rejoices the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Hearty counsel is not complaining about everything. Yeah. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. Blah, 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 blah. Wait a minute. The Bible says here, a good leader, a godly leader will focus on being a friend, not trying to make a friend some carnal way. And ointment and perfume rejoice in the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Amen. That's Proverbs 27:9. So many Christians miss the point, as I said earlier, and I'll close. We become addicted to having friends and to being liked and accepted. We just got to be liked. We just got to be accepted. We'll do anything to get you to like me. Now be careful with that philosophy. When you make the goal of your heart to have friends, suddenly you're chasing the wrong target. Careful what I say now. You will make decisions and mistakes all based upon the fact that you crave acceptance from others. Some people just gotta have your affection, gotta have, and they'll do anything to get it. You will compromise your heart, your integrity, and your vital relationship just for a few people that you think are true friends. Be careful. This thinking leads you into a vicious and hurtful cycle of making friends and losing them. They won't stay with you. They're all made the wrong way. You'll discover you cannot keep your friends happy. And when friends are made this way, you can't keep them happy. They're never happy. And some who you call friends will actually turn their backs on you when the chips are down and hurt you through gossip and rejection because they're really not your friend. Say, how do you know all that? I've grew up in a Baptist church. There's a better way. You don't have to be led around by peer pressure and weak friendships. That's what it is. You can establish true godly friendship another way. That's what I'm teaching about today. Leaders decide. I'm talking teachers. I'm talking deacons. I'm talking our pastor staff. Anybody in any kind of leadership. Decide that they will be a friend. Decide yourself. I'm going to be a friend to other people, even if they don't befriend me. I'm going to be their friend. You say, what is that? That's servant leadership, like our Savior. You need to change your thinking if you're thinking wrong. They'll focus on a different goal when you get to thinking right. Your goal won't be to try to have everybody on your side. Their goal is to be a friend to others and to help meet the needs of others. When it leaves others out, you don't have friends. In so doing, you'll discover that God will give you true friends. I got some true friends. Shift your mentality, your philosophy from having friends to being a friend. Forget about all the friends you can make. Be a friend. You follow what I'm saying? You want to have influence on somebody? Oh, man, there I go preaching again. I better get down. I got all carried away there on that point. I just about took off. Somebody said old-fashioned preaching last week, and I went crazy. I don't know what it was. We better quit there, guys. You kind of follow what I'm saying. We'll take it up again next time. But thanks for being good Christians, good church people, and good leaders. We got good leaders. There's not a leader that I can think of here in this church. And you call them, they'll be at your service. Now there are thousands in the vestibule. My goodness. We better pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a chance to teach your word. Thank you for the upcoming Lord's Day and all that shall be done. Bless here in this holy place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you and good morning. Thank you for attending this class.